Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What's he building in there?
Hello, boys.
Hello,
girls.
Girls.
He's America's home improvement hero.
Ooh, he's a pro.
Okay, thank you.
He's the idol of every woman.
Screw it up, though, and it's back to the mailroom, Adrian boy.
He's Lou Manfredini.
And you're going to fall right on your Lavanza when you hear this. Listen good.
And this is House Smarts Radio.
Yeah, that's me. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by wetandforget.com. Lots going on today. Our Noodaloo 2 is a husband and wife team that invented something to keep you from smacking your fingers when you're using a hammer. Very excited to tell you a little bit about that coming up a little bit later on. Then we're going to talk about drones. And with a company called Drone Dispatch they're sort of like the Uber of drones. And evidently, I didn't realize this. Any drone operators? Joe, Domati, anybody operate a drone ever? No?
No.
Never have.
Lindsay, ever operate a drone? Mm-mm. I don't know that I want to. But I think they're kind of cool.
I feel like we're all going to be drone operators. It's going to be kind of like, oh, texting? I don't text. I only call.
I just send
phone.
My drone.
Right.
So many people were against texting when it first came out. And now it's like drones are, I don't know, a drone? I don't think so. I feel like in years to come, everybody's going to have a drone. It's going to be like, how did we survive without these things?
Right.
Like texting.
We have to stop texting and driving. You know what I've noticed now, what everybody does, and Joe, I know you do this, and Domati, you do this.
I probably do.
And Lindsay, I know you do this. You stop at a stoplight, and then you take out your phone.
I hate this.
And you check it, right? And then the light turns green, and you're still looking at your phone.
Oh, I know.
And I'm the third guy in the row, and I'm going, that guy's looking at his phone, and I got to go get some donuts.
There's a 5-second lag time at
right.
every red light, even
right.
though I do it too. I hate
right.
it.
And now the technology with the cars is coming, you know, where it's all super connected, right? And you can just push the button and talk to your car and talk to your phone, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. That's what, like on my Chevy, I just hit the button and Siri says, dee dee. And I'm like, text Lindsay Smithwick. So I can text you from the car, just talking to the car, right? And the phone is put away and whatever. But part of the big traffic problem now is that's what everybody's
right.
doing. We have to stop
right.
doing that. We have to. I am amazed, and I'm sure all of you guys have seen this too, when you're on the highway and you're the traffic is moving, but it's kind of slow, and I'll just see people holding the phone in their hand as they're driving, like looking and thumbing, like they're scrolling up like they're
yep.
looking in Facebook
yep.
going up.
Yep.
We need to stop doing that. Joe, stop doing that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the people on the highway that get me.
Right. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Drives
it's crazy.
Nuts.
And it's... I mean, I was coming home from WGN TV on Friday morning, and there was a huge crash on the Edens Expressway, right where it splits from heading to 94 splits and 90 heads off to the airport. There were like 6 cars all smashed up, and I guarantee you somebody was on their phone.
Oh, whatever.
I guarantee you.
I know.
You know, because it was kind of stop and go, 6 cars. Talk about a way to ruin your Friday.
Right.
Ugh. Man. Anyway, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Cheer up. Yeah, we're going to have a nice day. Hey, for those listening, we'll talk a little bit later on, but we're going to have we've been trying to get together this show dinner forever, and we could never do it, because really it's all Lindsay's husband's fault, because
thanks.
He travels so much. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get together today and have lunch at this really cool place.
I know, I've never been there. I haven't never even heard of it.
Yeah, so that'll be fun to have all of the significant others
really?
Of the show together, so it'll be nice.
I'm looking forward.
Yeah, don't you try not to, you don't have to, since I'm buying, I'd like you guys all to order off the kids menu. So, Joe, you like chicken fingers?
Yeah, I already scouted out the Mickey Mouse pancakes.
Good. Chicken fingers, Doma tea. Is there anything like, what do they normally have? A mac and cheese?
I've already picked my steak out, Lou. I'm sorry. Got a fucking bill for this
I have my nephew, Jack, who, whenever we go out to dinner, he loves steak, right? And so wherever we go to dinner, he's like, I'll just have the steak. And he eats it all. But, I mean, I don't think he pays any attention to the fact that it's
$43. Oh, my God. That's my kind of man right
there.
Yeah,
right.
And then he takes two bites and he's like,
Eats it. Thankfully, he eats it. All right. So that'll be fun today. I'm looking forward to it. All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk with Bill, who's in Schiller Park. Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
Yeah.
How can I help you, Bill?
I got a question about some drainage in my yard. How much pitch you think should be, say, about 20 feet from my house? When we had that heavy rain, the back of my yard is backing up onto my driveway.
Well, the biggest issue with the pitch has more to do with the surrounding properties that are feeding into your property. So when you're in the backyard area that you're talking about, what's the situation with the neighbors? Are they all dumping water into you?
No, not really. No, they're all about the same depth
okay.
as me. I've kind of measured it. I got maybe about, when I look at it, it looks pretty flat. And I thought, well, maybe if I could excavate about 2 inches to 2-3 inches of
if you could get
next to my garage about 25 feet.
Yeah, if you could get a 2-inch pitch in 20 or 25 feet, that's really plenty. Now in a heavy downpour, depending on the porosity of the soil around you, there could be a little bit of a buildup. But that kind of pitch, if you can do it, or even instead of excavating out, do you have the ability in the back to build up a little bit?
Possibly.
You know, if you added a little topsoil, the trick with the when you're going to add any kind of soil and do any kind of drainage, you really want to spend some time with a string and a couple of spikes that you put into the ground, and so you can really see that pitch. Put a line leveler on it and make the line level, then measure the soil. From the line down so you can really see the pitch. Put it up a foot or so you have a place to put the tape measure. Then if you're going to add topsoil on the backside to kind of create a little bit of a pitch and then eventually seed it, when you put that topsoil down, you're going to want to get a lawn roller that you're going to fill up with water so that you can compact it down and kind of build that all up and then put a little loose soil on top of that and seed it. By doing that, you should be able to do your own sort of, ground pitching / drainage system to keep that water moving away from your home.
Yeah. Do you think I should be trying to pitch it from the garage away from the garage, like pitch it?
If you have the room, and the key element there is whenever you're doing any of this work, Bill, you got to make sure that you're not impacting your neighbors, right? That you're not dumping water into the neighbors.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right. If I don't do this myself, would you have a suggestion who could do this?
I do. Someone that's very good at it that I've been doing business with for a long time. It's a landscape contractor called Tommy Polina Landscaping.
Oh, okay.
And they really sort of specialize in this. And yep. I believe their offices are either in Franklin Park or they may have moved. Actually, do you have a pencil? Because I got their number.
All right. Just a second. Yeah, go ahead.
847.
Right.
698.
Right.
6868. They've done a lot of work with outdoor landscape drainage and have done a really good job with a bunch of different people that I've worked with over the years and have been very happy, myself included. Thanks so much for the phone call. 725 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. I listen every Saturday.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I listen to it every Saturday morning.
Well, you're my how-to man. When I have a question, I call you. You're how-to.
Don't be scared. Pick up the phone. Give Lou a call. He's live taking your questions till 10 right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
She ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation.
Welcome back.
It's against the law.
House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Marty's in the Grange. Marty, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Ooh, a lady named Marty. I like that.
Yes. M-A-R-D-Y.
M-A-R-D-Y. Marty.
Right.
Irish.
No, German.
German. Guten Tag.
Yeah, thank you.
That's all I know. How can I help you?
My question is, I have a 60-year-old ranch home. It's three-quarters finished basement. The other quarter is about 4.5-foot ceiling crawl space area, but that area of the home is where the bedrooms are. So several years ago, had covered up the exposed ductwork with some insulation, and that's all kind of falling down now. And it really helped a lot, though, in terms of the heat for the bedrooms there, keep it a lot warmer. So I'd like to do something again then. It just seemed to help keep the ductwork, the heat going into those bedrooms, and stayed warmer from the cold of the crawl space.
Okay. And you've been down in this basement or this crawl area to see all this insulation that's fallen down?
Yes.
Okay. And do we want... are we looking for a contractor to come in and re-insulate, or what is it that you ultimately are looking for? I mean, because what you just described makes sense, and certainly by having the ductwork insulated, you're not going to have as much heat escaping there, and so it's going to concentrate more of the air that you're paying to heat to be located in the rooms that you want it.
Yeah, I guess my question is that, like you just mentioned or said, that is the best way to do it. Should I just take that back down and rewrap it then? Not a lot of duct work, so it's not a super big job. I believe I could do it myself.
I mean, I think that if in the past it has been something that worked for you, then, and you've noticed that it was more tempered now, and then you look at that and say, wow, this is really not working that well, I would certainly start with that and see, right? It's an inexpensive proposition to put insulation around ductwork, and especially if it's something you're going to try doing yourself, I would just make sure you wear long sleeve shirts and gloves and eye protection when you do it. But wrap all that ductwork, see if it improves the overall comfort in those rooms, and if you do, you're good to go. If that doesn't do it, then you may have to talk with a company to maybe come out and clean the ductwork to increase the airflow there, check the filters on the system as well. Rebalance with other rooms where you can close vents or open vents to try and force more pressure there. But that's definitely the place that I would start, and it's an easy thing to accomplish. Thanks so much for the phone call. I'm just bumping up against time.
It's the weekend. Time to get to work on those projects around your home. But don't work too hard.
Everybody is in too big of a rush. Lay back, take a sip of tea. Mow a little grass, and then if you get tired, take you a nap.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you, House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. I was driving back, Joe and Domati and Lindsay, from southeastern Wisconsin last night, and drove right by the McHenry County VFW, where they're having that Queen of Hearts raffle, that's now, what is it, like $6 million?
I was going to ask you about that.
You should have seen the cars of people, I assume, driving there to buy the tickets, and it just keeps rolling over and rolling over, and the police are outside, and they're directing all this traffic. I posted a little funny video. I was driving with my wife, driving by all the people, and then as you're driving just outside of where the VFW is, and it's just these small VFW, God bless them, that all these signs like, hey, don't forget to try our pie on your way to buy tickets. Everybody's trying to merchandise the heck out of the whole thing. And I guess if I'm there's some story recently where they're going to finally end it. Like, I think they have a drawing coming up, but then, right, you buy a raffle ticket, right? Mm-hmm. And then once you buy a raffle ticket, you pick a card.
Well, they pick one raffle ticket, right?
They pick one raffle ticket.
Right.
And whoever has that raffle ticket then picks a card from a deck. And they have to pick the Queen of Hearts to win. Correct?
Yes. And that happens every week.
It's been going on. It's been rolling over the article that I read since like 2016. Right.
And what's so funny, I don't know if you guys seen these news stories, so they're interviewing people there and they're so excited, yes, I got this many tickets, I love this, I can't wait. Then it goes to the people who run it, and they're like, we're ready for this to stop.
Oh yeah, they said in one article, it says we're gonna end it because it's turning into a nightmare. And I mean, you know, the great thing for the VFW is it's a split the pot, so they're gonna get half of it, right?
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, it's a split the pot. And I think I was listening, maybe John Williams was talking about it, where the winner after taxes, where the money is right now, is going to get like $2.5 million. Not bad.
It's ruthless.
Right.
I once got picked for it. Not that one, but a one in Worth.
What do you mean picked in the Friendly Village?
So they do, a couple other VFWs do this.
Sure.
And I went to the one in Worth a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, and the pot was up to like $38,000.
Wow.
And my family had been going, and I went, and I got picked.
So your raffle ticket got picked?
My raffle ticket got picked.
And then you went to pick a card?
I went to go pick a card.
And what was the card we were looking for?
I think the same thing, Queen of Hearts. I still have the picture on my phone of it. The crazy thing was, when I walked in there, I went to the ATM, and you see the deck of cards up on the wall.
Right.
And there was one card up in the corner, top left corner, by four that were all turned over. It was all by itself, and I'm like, you know what? If I get picked, I'm going to go with that card, because no one's going to want that card, and everyone's going to be really ticked off if I win on that card. And I got picked. So I'm like, I can't second guess. That would haunt me forever.
Sure.
So I go up there. My adrenaline's pumping. My leg's shaking. They give me the laser pointer. I go to that top left one. It's five of hearts. And everyone just goes, yeah, and your heart just drops.
Oh, they're so happy that you didn't win.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh,
they
that's
wanted to
funny.
Roll over to next week.
That's funny. Yeah, well,
it was intense.
It was cool to see. I mean, I'd seen the stories and just driving by to see the excitement of people walking up to the VFW hall. I'm telling you what, every organization should do a fundraiser like this, because it really is kind of a cool thing to be part of. Anyway, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you on House Smarts Radio. This is Stan in Lyle. Stan, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for taking my call. Me and my customers enjoy your show every Saturday morning. How
Thank you.
Doing?
Thank you very much. How can I help you?
Well, yeah, my question is, getting your opinion, as everybody likes to do. I've got a thermostat issue where my thermostat, for probably the life of the condominium, has been mounted directly under a supply vent. As far as moving it over around the corner 2-3 feet, you think that'll change anything for me or no?
Well, where it's mounted right now, have you been experiencing problems with overall comfort in your home? In other words, because of that vent right there, it's obviously reacting to that.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely will. The moving it over, if you're in a condo, the biggest issue you're going to have is getting those wires. How far can you relocate it?
Probably about 4 feet. Around the corner, like kind of kitty corner from where it would be now.
Okay.
Without having to really, like you say, get into the ceiling and run a different wire, a new wire.
Right. But how are you going to drill through the studs, or how are you going to go horizontally?
I can actually, between the studs and the wall, there's enough gap where I can get what you and your listeners will call fish tape, long enough to pull it around the studs without going
good.
Through.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, I mean, getting away from that vent will have a huge impact on the overall sensitivity of the thermostat. And in particular, is it a digital thermostat that you have now?
It is a digital one, and I'm putting in one of the new Nests.
Okay. All right. Well, then those are super sensitive, and getting it away from that vent will be the right thing to do, and it'll also, you know, you're going to have control exactly to a degree. That's how sensitive they are. And so moving it will definitely make a difference for you, and I think that you shouldn't have a problem whatsoever. There's a little bit of a learning curve on that Nest, you know, just kind of getting used to it, but once it's in, it's a really nice, nicely made product, Stan, and it's one of those things that, you know, when they first came out before Google bought them, they had a bunch of software issues, and then even initially Google had some software issues, but they seem to have solved those problems, and I know a lot of people that have been very happy with the Nest and how it all works. Stan, thanks so much for the phone call. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's our new Tulu 2, which is like a canasta, right? Is that what we call it? No.
Castanetta.
Castanet.
Castanet.
Castanet, but it has to do with a hammer and a nail. Don't go away.
This is House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini.
He's a lean, mean, pneumatic machine.
All natural, safe, and effective.
Actually, we run him at 220, 221, to, you know, whatever it takes.
Our Noodaloo 2 is sponsored by ComEd, powering lives. You talk about my three rules, right, in your little piece there about my rules, or you don't? Not at all? Oh, right. So I have three rules, right? Is always be smarter than the material you're working with. Have fun. And remember to never hold a nail for someone else.
You've heard it before. His favorite catchphrase, never hold a nail for someone else. But hey, if you have to, this weekend's new Tulu 2 will save your fingers from being, well, smashed.
Youch!
Safety Nailer, our new Tulu 2, kind of looks like a little crab claw. You stick your thumb and pointer finger through the little rubber bands on the side that allow you to open and close the device with your thumb. So, picture that claw opening and then shutting around a nail. Say a nail that you're about to hammer into something. And it'll be a nice, tight hold because the safety nailer has a magnet in the fastener. Start hammering that nail away, and if you miss... Nope, no problem, because your fingers are safe and sound covered by the safety nailer, which is made of super hard ABS plastic. Your nail will go in nice and straight, you won't smash your fingers, and it can be used with your left or right hand. I mean, you could even say they nailed it right on the head. Safety Nailer is a U.S. veteran-owned company that can be purchased for $9.99 on safetynailer.com, on Amazon, and soon, your local Ace Hardware. Check out Lou's Facebook page. We put a little how-to video and a link up for you so you can find it in a... That's this week's new to Lou 2.
Are you at Zany's this weekend?
That's right. This week, next week.
You just sit in your little room under the stairs and like
crack
yourself up. You think you're so funny.
I will say last night I
was a little giddy.
No. So we keep our wine like in the basement. And so I was out of wine, so I brought like
big jugs, right? You got the big jugs there, right?
So I brought
Carlo Rossi
cup, an empty wine glass down. I put some ice cubes in it because I'm very fancy and I put ice in my wine. And then I grabbed a bottle of wine from the basement because I didn't want to walk all the way back upstairs to put it in the fridge. So I just poured it, and then I went into my little under the stairs, and David, you know, opens the door, and here I am just like...
Cracking yourself up.
Crouched into this little...
With a glass of wine.
A glass of wine and a bottle. And the bottle. I only had one glass, but...
But the bottle was there just in case.
Because
you don't want to get dehydrated at any moment. Okay, let's get back to the safety nailer. Stop talking about your drinking. What did we call these?
Castanets.
Castanets. So imagine a castanet that holds a nail. And it's this nice little plastic item that has a little rubber band that will go around your thumb and your index finger. And it opens up. There are little slots depending on the size of a nail you're going to use. And then you could... It has a magnet. You put the nail in there. It holds it. You close the castanet, and you place it on the wood or whatever it is, and tap, 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 and you go. It was invented by this guy that was in the Navy, and he used to procure There it is. That's like, it's like Sebastian from Little Mermaid. Just keep that underneath it. That should be the underneath there. Will it just keep playing?
Wow. These people are really good castanetters.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like that. And I think what we're going to do is the next time Lindsay does a bebopper show, we're going to come to a show and I'm going to bring a couple of those and that'll be my musical instrument.
A couple of the safety nailers.
Safety nailers, yeah. Right. And then we can give them out to all the kids. Perfect. Yes.
Well, they
right?
are coming out with a kids version.
Right, for making all the... It's a really neat item. He was in the Navy. They used to buy these things for the chisels so the guys wouldn't hit their hands when they were using chisels. So then he thought about it, and he and his wife put this all together, and they're making them in the USA, which makes me so happy. SafetyNailer.com. Go to WGNRadio.com. You can see it, as well as my Facebook page. Just like me on Facebook, and you'll see it as well. My wife told me to stop whining. This is a song I sing to her all the time. Welcome back. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Sponsored by Permaseal Basement Systems and by Fox Home Center. Ain't holding nothing back. You know, when I first started on a little peek behind the curtain in the radio business, you know, we're not allowed to play music on WGN radio, right? We're not a music station. So kind of the way it works in the business is you can only play about a minute of it before then somebody says you got to pay for the rights of it, right? And way, way back when, I used to fill in all the time. And one day I was here, I'm like, oh, play this song. And I remember the program director came in and yelled at me the next day because it ended up costing the station like $600 because I played, I think it was this song, the whole thing. But how can you not play this?
It's kind of worth it.
Right? I got a lot of trouble. Welcome back. 312-981-7200. Last night I had a, have you ever done one of these, friends of ours, Kevin and Sue, were at some Make-A-Wish auction, a fundraiser, and they bid on this prize to have a chef come to your house and do a dinner party at your house and, you know, you invite friends over. So we went to this dinner party last night, and, I'm not a big, do either one of you, Joe or Domati, watch any of the food shows like with these like Top Chef or any of that kind of stuff ever? Nobody? Anybody?
Not really. No.
Yeah, not anymore, really.
I said to Lindsay, I go, do you watch any of that stuff? She goes, why would I watch any of that stuff? I can't eat it. Right?
I mean, it's like, it would be like torture.
Right.
To watch this beautiful food being made and then...
This guy's name is Chef Dave Martin, and he was the season one winner of Bravo's Top Chef, and he runs a consulting company now called Chow Down, and he teaches culinary classes. He's from New York, so he flew in to serve us all a dinner last night, and it was spectacular. Like, you know what? It was really good. I mean, I love food, right? But he did all the pairings of wine, and so
I feel like you were
tomato,
the Black Hawks announcement, like, because I thought you were about to say he made us breakfast, and I was just waiting on it, and you're like, no.
Oh, yeah, that would have been nice.
What'd you say he made? He made a... tell us more. Tell us.
Well, he made us this lovely tomato. You know, this is the best time for tomatoes this time of year. This tomato medley with, like, what did it have? It had some sun-dried tomatoes in it as well, and this olive oil reduction. And then we had this Dover sole over bok choy and shiitake mushrooms and this ginger Thai sauce. It was delicious. And then there was dessert that it was so good that I just took it and stuck it right to my butt because that's where the calories were going right all the way. So it was really, it was a lot of fun. And, we had some wonderful company there last night with these friends that were there. It's just a great night. So thanks so much to Kevin and Sue for hosting us last night. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Tom is in Aurora. Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Yeah, Lou, I listen to your show all the time.
Thank you.
Appreciate you taking my call.
How can I help you, sir?
I want to
I want a new thermostat, and I went to the big box stores, and man, the technology with this is kind of intimidating. I didn't think I need to be a computer programmer to buy a thermostat, but you got any advice?
Well, I'll tell you what. They're super easy to install, but you do need a little bit of some computer sense to figure them out once they're on there. As far as the installation of them, on the wired side, they're exactly the same as traditional thermostats. So you're going to follow the instructions where, you know, the W is the white wire and the R is the red wire and the Y is the, you know, yellow, all of those things. Once that's all connected, then you really just have to follow the prompts. Have you purchased one yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
I wanted to get your advice.
So, most popular one out there, obviously, that everybody knows is the Nest. And the one the interesting thing about the Nest is it has the ability for you to add on to other things. So if you wanted to do remote sensors in rooms, if you wanted to do a camera system, if you wanted to have it connect to your Alexa, if you use one of those, like one of those Amazon Echoes, you can do that.
Yeah.
I actually have an electronic thermostat and have for many, many years, one of the first generations of a company called Ecobee. And I have to tell you, I've had that Ecobee installed for over 10 years and have had zero problems with it. It is the programming of it, once you have it all set up, it's a little more cumbersome from 10 years ago than it is now. It's a lot easier now, and that's a really good item as well. And then other companies like Honeywell make products that you can buy, and even Carrier makes a product called the Core, C-O-R, yeah, just C-O-R, and that's an item that I believe you can buy on your own. Again, the hookup is exactly like a regular thermostat, then you just got to program it.
What's with the C-wire, though?
The C-wire, how many wires do you have currently?
I've got an older unit. I just got three. And they're saying something about if you're going to hook up through the phone, they're recommending the C-wire.
You're going to hook up through the phone. Which unit? I'm going to have to see the you. It might just have to be a jumper. If you only have three, you don't have a C wire. It may tell you to jump from one terminal to the other, but that'll be all in the instructions. And that, Tom, does vary by manufacturer what they do. But if it's three is all you have, it'll take that three as well. And these things are smart enough because they have, you know, literally microchips inside of them to know exactly what they're doing and know exactly what you're hooking up to them. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's talk to Elizabeth, who's in Riverside. Elizabeth, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I have a Swedish hearth fireplace corner, and I got tired of being Cinderella, sweeping out the ashes and so on, and so I had it converted. And about 8 years ago, I had someone come in and check the gas and everything, who said it was an illegal conversion. So he cut it off, and now I'm ready to sell the house. I'm 85 years old, ready to leave. And who should I call? I want it to be a converted fireplace, handy for the people who buy the house.
Well, what's illegal about the conversion? I don't understand.
It was a gas conversion.
Right, but why is that illegal?
He said the way it was done was illegal. And it was someone from Nicor Solutions and said I had all kinds of gas leaking all over.
Well, that's a whole nother series, but I mean, there's no... Okay, if you want someone to come convert it,
yes,
I want you to call the Lindemann Chimney Company.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I'm not a computer person, and I don't have their number.
All right. Their website is cleanfireplace.com. Hold on, Lindsay just stepped away, so let me get this for you. Cleanfireplace.com is their website. I'm going to get you their number off there that you can...
That I can give you.
Hold on 1 second. So I'm pretty sure it's 847.
847.
All right. 918.
918.
7994.
7994.
Call them up. Tell them I told you to call. Tell them what you want to do. They'll come out and take a look at it, get it all set up for you. Make sure that it's all done properly, safely, legally, and then you can put this thing on the market with confidence.
Thank you so much, Lou, and I've been listening to you. I have Lindholm for my roof.
Oh, Lindholm did your roof. Great. Well, this is the Lindemann Chimney Company, so it's a different company.
Company, all right.
Different company. All right, Elizabeth, thank you so much for the phone call, and I appreciate you listening.
You're tuned in to House Smarts Radio. Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. That's the number that Fred and Rochelle called. Fred, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you, sir?
I am looking into putting in replacing my fence with a vinyl fence, and I would like to know if all vinyl is equal.
All vinyl is not equal. You're going to look for virgin vinyl fencing, meaning that it's a brand new extrusion, because that is going to give you the most fade protection. And it's going to give you the most longevity is how that fence is going to look. I have to tell you, I like vinyl fencing. The last home that we lived in, we put in a vinyl fence, and it was kind of the first iteration of vinyl fences. This has got to be 1996, maybe 97. And we did like a horizontal rail fence. So it was more open, you know, it wasn't a privacy fence. And I happen to know the people that still live in that home, and so I see the fence, and it's still white, and it's still holding up. And the technology since then has gotten a lot better. So you're in Rochelle. You know who does a really good vinyl fencing business that you can go see a bunch of samples is our friends over at Fox Home Center. And they're in LSIP, and it's, you know, they work with installers as well. And they have really good products there. I mean, I would get multiple bids on it all, but I like it. It's good-looking stuff. What kind of style are you looking at?
It's a privacy, 6-foot privacy. Yeah. And my other question is, I've had a couple bids, and one of them, they're not taking out my existing cement posts. They were going to, you know, go over
next to it,
5 feet. Yeah.
Are they going to break it out so it's below grade?
Yeah, well, the cement is below grade now. Yeah. You know, my existing.
I mean, that doesn't really bother me if they're going to if essentially the new fence is going to go over the same line where those were. If I'm able to, if the concrete's below and they're going to cut the post out and then put a little black dirt and, you know, I'm assuming you have grass or something there that can grow in there. If there's, you know, 2 feet of concrete underneath the lawn, that doesn't bother me.
Okay. Perfect.
All right.
Thanks very much.
You got it. Appreciate it, Fred, calling in this morning, and good luck with that fence. Friend Victor just texted me, who's a huge Hawks fan, and he says he still loves me, and he said he'll take me to a Hawks game. It's okay. I'm here doing the good work here.
But a game isn't the same as the festival.
It's not the same.
He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on House Smarts Radio.
If we don't laugh, we'll have to cry. Let's just laugh. Let's move on. Right? Let's just move on.
I'm very impressed with how you're handling it.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, not bitter at all. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm kidding. It actually works out fine, right? It really does. We were talking about drones earlier today. None of us have operated a drone. I've seen them. I've actually been on, video shoots where, the people that produce House Smarts Television, which by the way, House Smarts Television, last week I made a whole huge thing about our 200th episode, which I was super proud of, and I told everybody to watch it on WGN Television on Sunday at 10:30, which is when have been normally on. And lo and behold, we've been, as part of the fall lineup over at WGN, we've been relocated. Is that fair to say? House Smarts Television now appears right after this radio show. So we are now on Saturdays on WGN at 10 a.m. So if you can't get enough of me whining about not being at the Blackhawks convention, you can watch me on Channel 9 today at 10 o'clock this morning. And so that's our new time slot for House Smarts Television. I know many of you record it on your DVRs. Thank you very much. But if you'd like to watch it live and see what we're talking about, just go to WGN TV at 10 o'clock this morning. Joining me on the phone line right now from Texas, everything's big in Texas, is Josh Barnett. He is the president of Drone Dispatch. Josh, good morning. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
I have mixed feelings about drones, and I think that I'm more on the positive side. And the reason I am is because of the positive applications that are occurring with this. Now, here in the Midwest, we have agriculture is a big thing for us, and I know we have a couple of very well-established farm broadcasters here that appear on this radio station. One, Orion Samuelson, and Max Armstrong talk about agriculture. A lot of farmers use drones as a way to inspect their fields. It has really been a game changer, right, as far as being able to see what's going on large tracts of land. But there are all kinds of other applications, positive applications, and one that I bet you can talk to as well is when this Hurricane Florence finally gets through North Carolina and there's going to need to be some assessment of damages, I bet drones will play a big role in that as well.
Yes, sir. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. We work in the agricultural spaces a bunch, doing things like NDVI analysis, where we'll go through and we'll basically do a thermal scan of crops, and we measure the amount of chlorophyll in the plants, which is basically determined by the amount of green light that the plants reflect.
Wow.
And, we can determine which plants need more water. And then beyond that, we can do kind of surface model, elevation models, and we can tell where the water is kind of pooling up and coagulating in the fields where, the field isn't level and there's these divots and the water's pooling up there, and so the plants there are really healthy, and the plants surrounding around the rim of that divot, as it were, aren't getting the water they need. And so, in between seasons, the farmers can go out and utilize that data and level their field and make sure that there's an even distribution of the water. And in the insurance space, I mean, we do a lot of work. There's been obviously a bunch of hurricanes happening here over the last few years, and what we primarily do is we go out and work with the claims adjusters, and we'll go out and get entire big swaths of land that have been negatively affected and damaged by these hurricanes and flooding. And it allows the insurers to ultimately get their, claims process handled faster so that inevitably they can get the disbursements out to the people who need it the most in the most efficient way possible.
So tell me, Josh, specifically, your company, Drone Dispatch, what is your role, and what is it that your company's trying to help people with these drones and people that need the help of these drones?
Well, we're the drone guys. We effectively offer drone flights to customers who need drone flights at scale. We primarily do business-to-business stuff. So, anybody who needs a drone flight anywhere, anytime, you can call Drone Dispatch and you can schedule a drone flight anywhere, anytime. And, we really don't dabble in too much software, hardware, anything like that. We really like to kind of keep our nose in the book of, offering services, and that service is effectively drone flights for anything.
This is something that you do nationwide?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we're headquartered out of Pflugerville, Texas, which is a neighboring city to Austin. But we have about 1,600 pilots across the nation who have effectively been vetted and run through our pilot vetting funnel. And, we have a preferred pilot network beyond that who, are our number one kind of ace guys in each market. And Yeah, there's not an acre of the United States that we can't cover. We've also worked in Canada. We've also worked in Mexico. We've also worked in Puerto Rico. We've worked in Hawaii. You know, we've worked in Alaska. There's nowhere we won't work.
And so let's say that, you know, from a business-to-business perspective, I'm a contractor and I'm working in an area where I need to survey a piece of property or something like that. They would go to your website, be able to connect with a drone operator in Chicago or Milwaukee or, Davenport, Iowa, and contract through your website and or app to hire this person?
Effectively, what they would do is they would go to our website and they would submit, a contact form, and they would effectively let us kind of know what their needs are. At that point, one of our sales representatives would reach out and, field the rest of the information and make sure that we clearly understand the ask. And then it's a pretty hands-off process from there. You know, we have a dedicated flight operations team full of, excellent professionals who are going to go out and, get the right guy out there, the guy who has the right experience, the right equipment, and is available and, is going to get out there and represent not only drone dispatch, but also whichever business that we're working with professionally. And it works out really well.
Can you give me a range? I know you said that it differs, but can you give me a range at like what it would start for someone to hire a drone operator to do some sort of inspection and or videoing of some project?
So, the pricing for our services varies widely depending on the value proposition for the particular client in a particular industry.
Right.
So it can be kind of difficult. We've got it quantified to where, we participate in about a dozen unique industries. The general rule of thumb is $350 an hour.
Okay.
And, most operations can get taken care of in an hour.
Right. Right. So, it's not like this crazy number. It isn't like, wow, I got to get a drone guy and it's $3,000 or something like that. It's certainly attainable for certain types of businesses to use this in a way to really sort of utilize it. It is, as far as your network goes, you say you vet these guys out, right? To be a drone operator, you have to be licensed by the FAA. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And, it isn't quite as difficult of a process to become a drone operator as it is to become a, full-fledged fixed-wing aircraft pilot.
Sure.
But, there is still some testing that has to go into it. But the FAA reports that about 85% of people who try and take the test pass it on the first try. And,
right.
Beyond that, there's tons and tons of resources out there for people in particular. If anybody's ever interested in trying to become a pilot, my flight ops team and my sales team, we have documents prepared, with, podcasts and practice tests and study guides and all kinds of stuff. So if anybody's, interested in becoming a pilot, they can reach out to, I don't want to sit here and plug myself too hard, but they can
reach
out to Drone Dispatch and they can reach out to other firms. And, there's an incentive there for them to help those pilots become potential pilots,
sure,
become pilots. And so
sure,
we have resources available, and we're all about helping. We really do believe, one of our company philosophies is that all the ships will rise faster together. And we really want to get as much information out to as many people as possible. There's a lot of misinformation in the drone space, and we want to cut through that.
Right. Josh Barnett is the president of Drone Dispatch. Their website is dispatchadrone.com. dispatchadrone.com. Josh, it's interesting to learn about this, and I appreciate you taking some time this morning. Hope you have a nice weekend.
Likewise. I very much appreciate being on. I really appreciate the platform, and it's been an awesome experience. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate it.
You got to take care. Josh Barnett, president of Drone Dispatch. It's cool. I think that it's a neat thing. Like you said, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and certainly there's always going to be people out there that take advantage of a situation, but that shouldn't be the reason that we make decisions about, whether something is right or wrong. It's kind of cool, and I think they can really, really make a difference. In particular, as he mentioned, these hurricanes and inspecting this kind of stuff can be super helpful to emergency responders and, insurance adjusters. It's really something for agriculture as well as the construction industry that's being used widely. I think it's cool. All right, Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, 8:49 in the morning. We'll be right back.
The name game.
Two words.
Lou Manfredini.
Lou Manfredini.
Oh.
Six
syllables, two words.
Shirley, 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 Bo Burley, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Furley, Fee, Fi, Mo Merley. Shirley.
Five syllables.
Lou Manfredini. You're right. It's Lou
Manfredini. Lincoln, 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 Bo Bingan, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Bingan, Fee, Fi, Mo Mingan.
Louis Manfredini. I was thinking of his full name.
Right.
And actually, Lou Manfredini is only five syllables, but Louis Manfredini is six.
And now back to your host, Mr. Louis Manfredini.
That's me. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I've been lucky enough to be on that Today Show for a long time, but there is like a vocal tick that is happening on that Today Show that's driving me crazy. You know how you listen to stuff and then you zero in on it all the time? I am not a big fan of people when they are on air broadcasting saying, hey, 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 guys. So every time they go to a correspondent somewhere, the person says, hey, guys. So they'll go to the White House correspondent and they'll say, hey, guys. Or they'll go to some correspondent, hey, guys. Well, here's the thing. Now the Today Show is hosted by two women. So that bothers me, A, because they're not guys. So they'll be talking to Kathy Lee and Hoda, or excuse me, they'll be talking to Savannah and Hoda, and they'll say, hey, guys. But then they'll say, hey. I don't think they should say that.
Well, I have a feeling people will, because people text into you and they say.
I do say, I've been saying a lot, and I need to stop saying that.
Say what?
I've been saying a lot, and I need to stop that.
And
so,
yeah, so,
yeah, it's my, and I think that it is a focus issue.
I do now all the time.
And you know what it is? I'll tell you exactly what it is. Because we're in new studios and I'm not as comfortable with everything as it's set up yet, I am concentrating on, you know, when you get used to this, you start touching stuff and doing whatever kind of second nature. Now, because I'm still not used to it yet, I'm thinking about that while I'm in the middle of a conversation, and I'll use so as a jumping off point, which I should stop doing, and the ums. What are you looking at me like that for?
I feel like you did that. We got these when we were at the other studio, too. I'm not, I mean, I do the same thing.
Thanks a lot.
I do the same thing.
Thanks a lot.
It's just like a way to, it's a good segue into like, so I was at the store, so here's what you have to do. It's like a thinking thing.
Well,
it's
can't like complain thinking about the Today Show with saying, hey, guys, if I don't stop saying so and
Well, you know, that's what I'm here for. I just call you out on things. So.
Bob, do you see what I have to put up with? Bob and Hebron, do you see what I have to put up with?
Hi, Lou. Good morning.
How are you, Bob? No. You don't have to be any. You don't have to be sorry. I'm the one that needs to be sorry. How can I help you, sir?
We live in an old 1800s house that had plaster in it. Apparently, it was remodeled several years ago. And in our library, they put the drywall over the plaster on the ceiling. Well, we had developed a leak in the drain pipe of the sink upstairs, unbeknownst to us. And that leaked, you know, and spread out on top of the plaster, but didn't permeate through the plaster to the drywall until recently. So there's quite a bit of mold up there, and we want to know what the most effective thing to kill the mold is.
The mold is where the sink leaked, or down where the plaster and drywall is below?
Well, it dripped from the drain pipe onto the plaster, which is the ceiling of the room below.
Oh, the ceiling, okay.
Correct, and then migrated over to a light fixture.
Okay,
and came out.
And is that area now that was damaged by the water? Is it soft? In other words, could you take a screwdriver and kind of poke a hole in there?
Well, actually, we've torn all the drywall and plaster out of that area.
Oh, okay.
In the ceiling.
Okay,
but also there's a fireplace next to it, and we're worried that not a masonry fireplace that was built in and then boxed around it. So there's a vertical surface that we are worried that there's mold on the backside of that.
Okay.
If we, instead of tearing that whole wall out, we think that maybe we could cut a hole in it and, you know, get our, you know, at least be able to look in there,
mm-hmm,
and spray that vertical surface, mm-hmm, with something, but we just don't know what would be the most effective thing.
Okay. For the
for the vertical surface in that area, I want you to use a product called Fog U Mold. Okay? That okay. is an autonomized mold killer that you could, with a gap or a hole or whatever, you can stick it in there and literally fog it out, and it'll permeate inside there and fill all the nooks and crannies, and it will kill all the mold and mildew. You can use that same product and spray it like you're spraying a paint can or something like that, and spray that in the area where you've exposed the, you know, the framing underneath the plaster and drywall. Spray it all, let it dry, spray it one more time, and then go ahead and patch the plaster and all that good stuff as well. Okay?
So that fireplace enclosure, we could actually cut a hole in it and put that Fog U mold product in there and let it permeate and just kill the mold that way.
Correct.
If we aren't able to get in there and actually physically spray it.
Correct.
I see. Well, that sounds very good. I sure appreciate it.
You got it. You'll find that at your local Ace, by the way. Hey, coming up, it's the stories that matter with Domati Pongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Lou, can I tell you that I'm a Saturday morning bike rider, and early in the morning, like at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and for years, every time I get home, I catch you in bed with my wife.
Not quite sure how to answer that, Chuck. How about that? I like that. I don't know if I like that. I'm uncomfortable now. I'm starting to sweat.
Welcome back. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You know, Ben Cortez, our engineer extraordinaire that works here at WGN Radio for the past 150 years, he was telling me that his son now works and manages at the Chicken Inn. My Chicken Inn. And he brought.
I'm shocked.
I was so excited.
I know. I'm sure you were.
Can we get discounts now?
Yeah. Well, I told him that if they should send some stuff in, and oh, you know, we would gladly test it on.
Can I tell you that there is something at the Chicken Inn? I am convinced that they put like what would be something that would be addicting there, like nicotine, or something in the chicken. You don't taste it, but you cannot eat just one piece. It's like this broasted. Boys, do we like fried chicken? Joe, Domati?
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay, no, she won't eat any fried chicken.
Yes.
The only time I ever saw you eat fried chicken was when you were pregnant with your daughter. We went to Little Goat, and they did chicken and waffles. And it was like I turned my head, and I like turned to say, the waitress said, would you like more coffee? I'm like, oh, thanks. And I turned back, and your plate was completely clean. Like somebody took it. Like, I thought they brought you another plate, and it was really strange, because when I looked at her, she had the plate in her hand, and she would go, she was, like, licking the maple syrup.
That was good.
Okay, I'm telling you what, here's the only thing with the Chicken Inn. We have to go there. It's the only carryout place, right? And it's the type of thing that I think by the time it got downtown, it wouldn't taste the same. I mean, they do deliver. Oh, my gosh. This stuff is amazing. And then they do these potatoes that are like, take a baked potato, the broasted potatoes, and they like slice it lengthwise in wedges, and then they broast it. Oh, I'm telling you what. It is lights out. It is like a Manfredini family staple at any kind of big party. Like Quinn will be, you know, if we're having a family party, no brainer.
Really?
We'll take 70 pieces of chicken in. Comes in a giant, you know, aluminum pan. Oh, he loves it.
It's awesome.
Awesome. I'm holding the menu right in my hand right now since 1972. Chicken in.
Can't beat it.
Love it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Carrie, who's in Sycamore. Carrie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. I just got hungry for chicken.
I know. I know. You're going to have to go all the way to the northwest side of the city to find it.
I'll make a deal with you. That's where I grew up, but I'll make a deal with you. We have a place called the Chicken Dip in Hampshire, Illinois, which is about 5 miles from Sycamore, not too far from where Orion lives in Hampshire. And it's called Chicken Dip because you get almost everything you described, and the dip part is when you're done, you get ice cream to make the meal really unhealthy.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Chicken Dip.
All right.
Good.
I'll come see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll meet you. Give me a call. So my question is, one of the bathrooms in our house has a really funky smell, and it's not what people think. It's not bathroom smells. I've tried every cleaning product in the toilet, and actually the tub and the sink as well, but I think it's coming from the toilet. I put bleach in the tank. I've used the pellets. I've used every product. It flushes great. It never backs up. And this doesn't matter if I use it or not. It's just when you clean it, hey, great, it smells great because we've used all those great products that smell good. And then 2 days later, it's got this really weird, funky, like sulfury smell, like really strong.
Your water is what? Is it well water or city water?
It's city water, but it's really, really, really hard.
Okay, but you don't have this odor at all in the...
Not in the other bathrooms.
Or in the kitchen or anything like that?
No, it's just this bathroom, just this one bathroom.
Whether you use it or...
It's a really old house, too, by the way. It was built in 1896. I don't know if the... I'm thinking it's something underneath the toilet, not...
And you've kind of localized it that it's the toilet. Like, if you put your nose by the drain of the vanity, there's no smell.
No, it's the toilet. There's nothing from the bathtub.
I'm thinking that there's some kind of bacteria that is collecting around the wax ring, that's what you're smelling.
Okay.
Everything else that you're telling me, if you've cleaned the tank and the toilet, you've cleaned the under the rim, all that other kind of stuff, and the fact that you said that it doesn't, initially when you clean it, it goes away, but then when those, odors from the cleaners go away, I think I would tell you to pull that toilet and probably inspect around the closet flange. This bathroom is on what floor,
Gary? It's on the second floor.
It's on the second floor, and so it's the toilet is mounted on a tile floor.
Yes.
Yeah. I bet you have bacteria around that wax ring. Clean that all up. Look underneath there. Inspect it to make sure that there's no mold or anything like that. That mold sometimes can have a little sulfury smell to it, and if you notice that, I would use something like Healthful Home or the Concrobium Mold Control. Spray it on there. Scrub it. Let it dry. Scrub it again, and then spray it so that there's that residual value from the cleaner. Then put the new wax ring, and there's also synthetic rings that you can use that are squishy and won't harden, and bacteria won't grow on them as well. So
I was going to ask you that question. So my father-in-law, who's a retired plumber, he swears by just using putty, not a ring. I've never understood the difference or what you should use.
I am not going to question your father-in-law, who's a retired plumber. but traditionally, you'd use some sort of wax ring to make that connection. I mean, all depends on the putty part of it. Certainly can be used. That's old school. The wax ring kind of gives you a little bit more of a little bit of wiggle room per se when you're setting the toilet down, but these synthetic rings, what is it called, Lindsay? The synthetic ring, Sanaseal, is a really nice item. I didn't think I was going to like them at first. I didn't think there was a need for them, but it does take away some surprises that you can get with a wax ring. Where if you don't set it properly, then you got to start all over again. But I bet you your issue, Carrie, is some bacteria at that wax ring at the floor level. Pop it off, clean it up. While you're doing that, inspect that closet flange and that drain to make sure that there's no break in there as well.
We'll do that as well, and I'll see you at the chicken dip, Lou. Thanks.
Sounds great. Carrie from Sycamore, appreciate you calling. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. By the way, I know that you all love the new iPhones. You, Lindsay, in particular, love to have the most technology. And did you see the best feature from the new set of iPhones that's coming out? They finally listened to me.
And now, back to my dad, Lou Manfredini, on House Smarts Radio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's my girl, Carmen. Welcome back, House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. John's in Rockford. John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
All right. I'll give you the little scenario. 2 years ago, I replaced my deck, wood deck, and I used cedar-treated wood.
Cedar? No. You used cedar wood.
Yes.
Not treated. Did you use treated or did you use cedar?
Cedar.
Cedar.
I use cedar.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Just so I understand.
Yeah, my bad. So, and what I stained it with was Rimer. It's an oil-based stain.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
They're out of Wisconsin, R-Y-M-A-R. Okay. So it was in the fall last year or 2 years ago, so I stained it, and I only could put one coat on it. So I called the manufacturer and asked them if I could put another coat, and they said, yeah, but I'd wait till the spring and then put the other coat. So I did, and the deck is turning green. From water, I imagine. It doesn't get a lot of sun on it.
Okay.
So yesterday, what I did is went out there, power washed it with soapy water and got a lot of the green out, and it looks clean. So what I'm looking for is maybe a recommendation. Should I get some other kind of cleaner as well before I to get a stain.
So let me ask you this. Where the area is that you don't have the kind of green color, is the overall color that you put on with the stain look pretty good?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So let's try this. I'm talking a lot today about wet and forget, but that's what I think you need to apply to this deck. Get the do you have a lot of vegetation around this deck? Grass and bushes and whatnot?
Well, I do. Not a lot, but I do have some flowering around it.
I want you to take your garden hose. Go buy a jug of the Wet and Forget with the hose applicator, what they call the rapid. What's that?
I love that. I love that stuff. I have some fillers in front of my house.
You're going to use it on your deck. Hose everything down around the deck with your hose first. Get everything nice and wet, the flowers, the grass. Make sure it's nice and wet. Then I want you to take this hose application, once you blow off the deck, any leaves and whatnot, and put this cleaner all over the deck. And then when you're done, take your hose again and hose everything off around the perimeter of that deck. In about a week and a half, you should see a dramatic difference. And then from there, you can assess whether or not this needs to be restained or not. And I don't know about this product you have. I just quickly looked it up. It looks like Sherwin-Williams owns that product. But I'm a big fan of the Penifin product, which is a rosewood oil base. And I know they have mildicides that are built into that, which can be a pretty good capabilities to fight this coming back. What I would do is, if the color looks like it needs a little help, use their Pro-Tech cleaner and then use their oil-based stain over the top before the winter. The fall is a great time to do this, but I would start with the Wet and Forget product and go from there. John, thanks so much for the phone call. A quick break, and then we'll get to news.
Hey, we've all got our areas of expertise. Lou's area just happens to be your house.
I've been listening to you for a few months now. Try to catch you saying something not quite right, but you got it all going on.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Never
I mentioned earlier, I think I mentioned earlier that we went to this lovely dinner at our friend Kevin and Sue's house with a bunch of friends, and they had a chef, right? No, I did, right? And right when I got there, Kevin says, hey, I need you to look at this window. So I went upstairs to the bedroom, and he had a window that wouldn't stay open, and I had to take the whole window apart, a double-hung window, and took it out, and then sort of fixed it. The balancer's off. And it needs to be replaced, but I did that. But then I've seen a lot of things when it comes to the home. And he goes, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. I go, what is it? He takes me outside. And in the corner by his gutter near this little trellis, there is this giant spider web, which they could use Wet and Forget's Miss Muffet's Revenge. In the web, a mouse. That spider is going to live all winter long living off that mouse.
Yeah.
A mouse. I mean, it was a little mouse, but it's bigger than the spider. caught in the web.
Until Miss Muffet comes along.
Well, right. You just spray it, and then that's it, right? But it, I've never seen it before in my life.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Little mouse.
Poor little mouse.
But here's the thing. Here's the other thing, too. It's up by the gutter. So when you're thinking, like, how does the mouse get in my house? That mouse is climbing up that gutter, getting into your house. No such thing as?
There's no such thing as one mouse.
There's no such thing as one mouse. So you either need to get rid of the mice or you need more spiders. That's a spider with a, what's that song? You know, High Hopes, right?
He's got high
right. Wow, what am I going to do with this mouse now? He's like, I can invite friends over. It's like Thanksgiving. Anyway, we had a nice time. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mike is in Chicago. Mike, you're on WGN. I don't know that I want to talk about this subject now, Mike.
Well, it's coming, whether you like it or not.
All right. How can I help you?
All right. So this is concerning my house up in western Michigan. I have a metal roof on the house. There's no gutters on the house, but always right over our entranceway in the east-facing side of the house, we get an ice dam that kind of drips down onto the porch, and then we get a buildup on the actual porch of ice.
Metal roof. It's a front porch. Under the area where you get the ice dam, it's unheated, correct?
Correct. It's wood stairs built up, you know, to meet the level of the house.
Okay. And is there a corresponding roof that, like, leans into this porch that collects a lot of water? In other words, this is what I'm thinking is, on the other areas, are you getting some melt where the water is then hitting this roof that's not heated, and that's why it freezes?
No, it's just a slope, flat metal roof on that section of the house there.
Slope.
So it's a
continuous roof.
Continuous roof, correct.
But only a portion of it is the porch, or the whole thing is the porch?
There's just a small, like, stairway moving up. It's only, maybe 4 foot wide.
Right.
The steps leading up to the house.
Right. But what I'm just trying to picture this. So I've got a leaning roof coming over there, and where those steps are at, where that portion of the roof is, does that extend out further than the rest of the gutter line, or it's all the same part?
It's all the same.
But on either side of the staircase, that is heated.
On either side of the staircase is
where the roof. If I was looking at that roof, and I'm in your front porch area by your front door, do I have a wall to my right and a wall to my left?
No, it's all one even. Surface there.
One even surface there. Okay. But underneath that portion, it's unheated.
Right. Well, that's outside. I mean, this is the outside steps, obviously, where the ice dam is building up.
Right. My point is I'm trying to picture this with the ice damming. I think you've got a problem that's going to be very tough to solve, because you've got a roof line that's covering the home that is in a heated space, and so that there's an attic space, I assume, under this steel roof, correct?
Yes.
And so you're losing a little bit of heat there. It's a little bit warmer, and that metal obviously reacts to the heat change differently. You get a little bit of melt that comes to that unheated space that then causes the ice damming. Now, where this ice dam is, you have a couple ways to go. There is a liquid calcium chloride that you could spray up there that would probably last 20 to 30 days, and or you could, they make, there's a product called a hot sock, which looks like a nylon, a lady's nylon, with a liquid calcium chloride that will last about 30 to 45 days that you could place in that area where it'll slowly leach out some of the calcium chloride, which won't hurt your metal roof, and it will keep this from happening over the winter months.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it's called a hot. Right. It's called a hot sock. Where are you at, Mike? In Chicago? Yeah, like a lot of hardware stores have it. It's from a company called Liquid Snow Shovel, and it works pretty well. And it's a really good solution for ice dams. Based on how you're describing that to me, I think it's going to be a tough one. And I putting something on top of this to slowly treat it so that it doesn't freeze might make the most sense. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:45 in the morning. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Now back to House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Welcome back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lucy's in Arlington Heights, and she's our last caller this morning. Hi, Lucy.
Oh, hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, I'm buying a home in Hoffman Estates, and the homeowner has done some repairs, and there were cracks in the foundation. It's a crawl space, and the sump pump wasn't working, and there was mold in the crawl space. So they've done all the work. It's all done. There's plastic on the what you would call the floor, and new insulation has been put in, and they covered up the sump pump. All you see is the pipe coming up out of the plastic, and I'm a little concerned that that shouldn't be that way. I'm not going down there, but someone's going to go down there routinely to check it.
Wait. The sump pump is where? In the basement?
In the crawl space.
Oh, yes. In a crawl space.
I'm sorry. I keep saying basement.
Okay.
I mean crawl space.
And covered it up with plastic because they put like a liner?
Right. In the floor area or whatever you call it. So I'm not sure if that should be covered up.
Well, covering it up doesn't bother me. I mean, it's going to help to control any moisture that could wick out of there. But, I mean, if you're concerned about it, then what I would do is have some – say, can you take some pictures of this so I can see what work you did? I mean, that's an easy thing to do. Somebody can go in there with a camera and take a couple of snapshots for you to take a look at. And
I'm not there right now.
No, I understand. But, I mean,
okay.
In other words, you still – in other words, you're in the process of buying this, right?
No, and, I closed yesterday.
Oh, you closed. Okay, so you closed it. Okay, well then I would just send someone down there to take some pictures and check it all out. I'm sure it's fine. Hopefully, the people that did it did the work the right way. But I think you'll be good to go.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. I was just a little concerned because I've always asked you questions when I've questioned things in the past.
Absolutely. That's what I want. I want to be here to help you. But just send someone in there with a camera to take a few pictures and then take a look at it. And hopefully you have someone that can say, hey, Lucy, this looks fine. They just covered it up. It looks fine. Everything's cleaned out. The pump is operating. Yada, yada, yada.
Okay. All right. Well, real good. Well, thank you, Lou.
Congratulations on your new house.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. I have to sell my current house first. So.
All right. Well, fingers crossed.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. So I mentioned that, you know, one of the things that's changed a lot in this business about radio and podcasting and whatnot, you have all this ability to listen to all of these shows pretty much on demand. And some shows are specifically podcasted. One of them, I told you, is I listen to very few podcasts, but one of them is The Mincing Rascals, which was, I think, like voted number one by a group of mechanics on the South Side or something like that. And it's really good. John Williams is part of that. A bunch of guys working at, a Texaco station. Oh, there's John right there. And you had an opportunity separately from your Mincing Rascals podcast, John, to interview Bob Woodward, who is the author of the new book, Fear.
Right.
Which I know you've been reading for everybody.
Yes, I posted my third book review yesterday.
Yeah, which is sort of like, you know, you're open of your show thinking big thoughts so we don't have to, and you're reading the book so we don't have to. But I know that you have found the book to be quite even-keeled.
Yeah.
I mean, there's portions of it that are surprising.
No, here's the deal. I mean, you're right, Lou. I am surprised how I think fair. Remember, Bob Woodward is a Republican. He was a commentator on Fox News frequently. I don't know if he still is, but, I mean, he's not a lefty just lobbying crazy stuff about Donald Trump out there. So I'm surprised as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, well, what do you know? Trump managed that situation. What do you know? That Gold Star mom, he made her feel good, stuff like that.
Right.
But then there's other things, like I was reading it more of it last night, where you just go, oh, my God, now I understand why Donald Trump can't understand why 3,000 people are attributed to the hurricanes in Puerto Rico. They were trying to explain trade to him, and he would just kind of fold his arms in front of him and say, nope, I'm not going to have it. And they go, no, this is how trade works. This is what...
Right.
This is how the economy goes. And
right.
You go, nah, not hearing it. Not hearing it.
I have really
some of that too.
I really enjoyed your conversations about the book. But the two other things that I want to talk about before I let you go is, and before I leave, so you can host your show.
Yes.
Is your conversation with Ken Starr and new book, which is up at WGNRadio.com. It's a separate 30-35 minute conversation you had, which I thought was so interesting. And I think that people would be so surprised about some of the historical things that maybe we aren't top of mind, because most of that whole Ken Starr investigation about Whitewater was so many years ago.
Yeah,
it's really good.
That's so nice of you to say. What surprised you about that conversation?
I mean, I think that his candor in describing, even you would think that he would be so... dead set against the Clintons in the whole thing, but in retrospect, he was very complimentary about the type of person that he was, and in the investigation and the mistakes that, you know, in his views, President Clinton made during the whole thing, and like, had he only done this,
yep,
it would have, maybe nothing would have ever happened. But it's
right.
It's a very interesting conversation.
Paula Jones was a real thing. If he had said yes and just paid the civil settlement, we would not have had his impeachment.
Right.
And here's the thing that I took away from it. I like Ken Starr more than I thought I would.
Right.
But I came to appreciate there's such a thing as rule of law. The Clintons may have thought they were above it. Ken Starr was not out to, quote unquote, get the Clintons. He was out to follow the law.
Right.
And that was the thing that made me feel good about that. He also advised us, as we look at the current president, don't think impeachment is a panacea. It's so complicated. We'd be better off waiting till the midterms and finding some other route to justice and civility. He does not encourage us to try and impeach the current president.
Right.
It was a wonderful conversation.
It really was. And if you go to WGN Radio, you can see it. And then finally, yesterday afternoon, I'm driving with my wife.
Oh, boy.
We're heading to a an event together, and we're listening to Your Bright Side, which is something everybody on a Friday afternoon should do. You should tune in to John every day, but on Friday afternoons, probably at 2:50 or so.
That's about 2:45.
2:45,
yeah.
Call in with, you know, it can be my son's all going off to college, or I'm going to a... a reunion, class reunion.
Yeah,
it's all is sweet. There was a caller that brought me to tears.
Oh, Lou, which one?
It was the gentleman that called about his wife who has Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And he said that we're dealing with this, but she still remembers who I am, and I still love her, and we're together for the rest of our life. It was the sweetest, bright side, bittersweet bright side.
Think about that. That's a guy sitting there in his home with his wife. He doesn't know me. We don't know him.
Nope.
He wants to share that with the world.
Yep.
Wasn't that a nice
thing
to lob out there?
It was beautiful. And so every Friday at 2:50, The Bright Side with John Williams. Have a great show, John.
I
love you more.
All right, you wrap it up, and I'm going to talk to some hockey people.